We Talk Radio, good morning. We are getting ready to go live at 9, Good morning to all of you, and continue to keep tuning in each morning, each Sunday morning. I want y'all to continue to keep tuning in here. Let this word continue to feed your spirit, okay? And we want you to continue to grow in the soil, all right? So we're getting ready to go live with everybody on here, but good morning to everybody out there on Week Talk Radio, where we talk, we listen, and we take action. All right, let us get ready to go live. All right, good morning to everybody out there. Good morning to you that are listening to us on Facebook Live. I want to thank y'all for tuning in to us on Facebook Live. I want to thank y'all for just tuning in with us on this morning here. We've got a little bit of a different setup for you on this morning, but everything as far as the word is concerned, we are ready to rock and we are ready to roll. So you guys give me a thumbs up. I want to make sure that y'all can hear me okay. Somebody give me a thumbs up out there. Can you guys hear me? All right. All my metrics say y'all can hear me, so I'm going to just trust in that and say that we are good to go. All right, let's get ready to go. I'm kind of running the operation myself today, so y'all just bear with me here as we continue to move forward. All right, I want to thank y'all. All right, so looks like people can hear. I'm starting to see some comments come in, so let's get ready to go live on this morning. So as I said, good morning to everybody on Facebook Live. Good morning to you on We Talk Radio as well. So this morning, we are coming to you again with part two of our series, You Are Who He Says You Are. Not who I might say you are, not how, you know, anybody else might say that you are, but you are who He says you are. And I just want to start off real quickly here for our Black History Spotlight. Of course, we know this is Black History Month, the month of February. And I want to start off by talking about someone, Dr. Mae Jemison. If you remember Dr. Mae Jemison, who was the first Black woman to travel into space, okay? She traveled into space. And one of the greatest quotes is a quote that I want to highlight on today. One of her famous quotes that I've heard for a long time is she said, "Never be limited, okay? Never be limited by other people's limited imaginations." Never be limited by other people's limited imaginations. For her, I want us to understand the perspective that she was coming from. For her, there were limited thoughts about a Black woman traveling into space. It had never been done before. And because it had never been done before, the imagination for it was limited. But she did not let what was unseen stop her from, here's that word, giving faith something to do. She didn't let the limited thoughts and the imaginations of other people stop her from giving faith something to do. Because remember, just because people can't see it, it doesn't mean that it cannot come to pass. Just because people can't see it, doesn't mean that it cannot come to pass. Where do we get that from? Philippians 4:13 tells us, right? That we can do all things, not some, not the limited thoughts, not the limited imaginations from other people, but we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So don't let limited mindsets stop you from allowing God to do what He needs to do through you. And just understand that He is always by your side. So Dr. Mae Jemison, thank you for not being limited and for setting the history books with being the first Black woman to travel into outer space. Amen. All right. That is our Black History Spotlight on this morning. Before we get into the meat and the potatoes, you know how I say it, the meat and the potatoes for the message this morning. I just want to go ahead and open up with a quick prayer to allow God to prepare our hearts and our minds. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. This day was not promised to any of us. This is a day that you have made. We will rejoice. We will be glad. We're going to find a reason to rejoice. We're going to find a reason to be glad in this day, because it wasn't guaranteed that we would be able to live to see this day. But because you graced us with this day, Lord, we're going to find a reason to be glad. We're going to think on those things, the best, not the worst, the good, not the bad, and allow the positive thoughts and the positive spirit, Lord, to take centerfold of all that we do on today. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts, open our minds, and allow us to receive what you have for us on today so that, Lord, we can be used for your purpose and glory. Less of us and more of you, Father God. pour the anointing in your fresh oil inside of our spirits right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Give us a soft heart, Lord. Remove all soil deficiency so your seed can be planted in the soil. This is good ground, Father God. And we thank you in Jesus' name for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to thank all of y'all that are tuning in on We Talk Radio as well as on Facebook Live. So as we've been talking, we've been coming from the book of Romans, right? The book of Romans. And remember, we're coming specifically from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul, as you remember, we've talked about the apostle. And that word simply means a church planter. He started churches. He started churches in the European and the Asian and the Middle Eastern regions, right? And the very first church that he planted was in Rome, okay? The Roman church, that was the first church that he planted. So when you look into in the Bible, right? In the New Testament, you've got the Gospels. You've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And you got the book of Acts, where Acts really lays the real foundation of the real New Testament, because that's when the Holy Spirit comes, joins the group that have been waiting on him in the upper room. And then we get into the Pauline letters. Okay. So Paul is writing this letter to the Roman church, one of the first churches that he planted, to send them encouragement. And one of the most powerful books out of all 66 books of the Bible, one of the most powerful chapters in all 66 books of the Bibles is Romans chapter 8. And what I want us to understand during this time, okay, Rome was the most powerful and dominant force, okay, in history during this time. And so for Paul to carry the gospel, right under the belt of Julius Caesar was something dynamic, something never done before. And this was a bold move by Paul. This was a move that could have gotten him persecuted. It could have gotten him killed. But this bold move allowed him to spread the gospel and plant the seeds that needed to be planted. And what I want us to understand about that, okay, the gospel is the good news. The gospel is the good news. When you hear the gospel, that means the good news of Jesus and all that he can do for us and through us, okay? The word of God, it lives through us, it speaks to us, and it meets us where we are. This is what the gospel is. And so he went to spread the good news to the Roman church, okay? And this is called evangelism. That's what evangelism is. It is spreading the good news of Jesus wherever you go. So if you go to the grocery store and you tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus, you're evangelizing. Wherever you go, work, school, wherever it is, whenever you're telling somebody about the goodness of Jesus, you're spreading the gospel, you are evangelizing, okay? So what I want Soil Church to know and to understand, okay, evangelism is the heartbeat of ministry. Evangelism is the heartbeat of ministry. We don't have our slides today, because if we did, I would put that up on a slide. But I want y'all to remember, you're going to have to take some notes today. Evangelism is the heartbeat. Think about what the heartbeat means for you. Without a heartbeat, you don't have life. So without evangelism, without evangelizing, you don't have ministry. Evangelism is the heartbeat of ministry, okay? And what I want us to understand is that Paul had several moments while spreading the good news, okay, spreading the gospel, where he felt like David at times. Think about this. He's in Rome and Julius Caesar breathing down his back, ready for somebody to try to proclaim this, what they called false gospel. Because remember, they did not believe in Jesus during that time. They didn't believe in him. They wanted to persecute him, crucify him, all of that, right? That was all part of that whole process of Julius Caesar. Come on in. Good morning to you, sweetheart. Come on in. All right. And that's what he did, right? So he did that. He made that bold move. And this is what he did during that time. But there were times where he probably got a little scared. Okay. He was chanting on uncharted territory. And he had that moment where he felt like David at time. Remember, David wrote in Psalms 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou," talking about God, "for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff." David had to remind himself who was with him. Paul had to remind himself who was with him as he was evangelizing. Because remember, it is the heartbeat of ministry. And without evangelizing, you do not have ministry. This is why we have to get outside of the mindset, ladies and gentlemen, of just church being this building. I think this is why God, what we went through with COVID, we had to understand. We had to get outside of just the building, out of the typical structure. Yes, we have the building. We have the storehouse. This is where we get our marching orders. And we get all of those things when it comes to church, right? We understand that. But the real heartbeat is out there outside of the church. It's out there on a corner. It's out there in the public view. It's out there at the grocery store. It's out there at the airport. That's where evangelism happens. And that's what God needs for us to do. But Paul knew that if God protected David with his rod and his staff, God would do the same for him. Okay, this is what evangelizing does. If David had not proclaimed how God would protect him, Paul wouldn't be inspired by God's protection in the valley of the shadow of death. So when somebody hears what you go through and they saw what Jesus has done for you, you're now helping them to be inspired by the word of God. And this is what evangelizing is. People need to know what God has done for you. People need to be able to see what God has done for you. People need to be able to know the things that God has done for you and how he's brought you out of these things. This is what's going to inspire them. This is what's going to uplift them. This is why Jesus came. He wanted to inspire. He wanted to represent the pinnacle of ministry to say, in these things, you can even do greater works. Okay, so if it's good enough for Jesus, if it's good enough for us, what we have to understand and what we have to know, this is what we can do as well. And we can even do greater works. This is what we got to understand. Okay, and the more we feed on the word of God, which is our lifeline, the more we feed on the word of God, we pick up our fork and we eat the broccoli, get the nutrients that we need. Okay, we get all the essential vitamins that we need, spiritually speaking here. When we do these things, it allows us to be nurtured. It allows our spirit to be fed. It allows our spirit man to be able to grow and grow stronger. And then we begin to listen more to the spirit and less to the flesh. The flesh begins to turn down its volume and the spirit begins to turn up its volume the more we feed on the word of God. So if you're struggling with having negative thoughts, if you're struggling with being around contaminated people or whatever the case, this is when you need to pick your spiritual fork up and you need to eat the essential vitamins that's going to help you feed your spirit, man. I feel that I'm speaking to somebody on this morning. You need to feed your spirit, the spirit person that's on the inside of you, so the spirit can get strong. You guys remember Popeye? You guys remember Popeye? Some of y'all but won't tell our age. They remember Popeye, the sailor man. Remember Popeye? Okay. And every now and then Popeye was a guy. He was kind of weak and skinny and all that good stuff. But at some point, Popeye realized that he was getting weak and Brutus, the devil, Brutus was getting the best of him and having his way and beating up Alex. What's her name? Alice or whatever her name was and doing all these things and all that. Then Popeye went back to the source. He says, I know where my strength comes from. He says, I didn't know I was going to be talking about Popeye the Sailor Man this morning, but Popeye would get that can of spinach and he'd get to eating that and he would begin to feel his inner side, his inner man, and he'd get all this strength here and he would take Bluto to town. This is what we have to do with the word of God. It's our spinach. We got to pick up that word and we've got to feed that word so that when we go out and about, we are equipped and we are ready and we are strong to evangelize. You can't evangelize on an empty stomach. The devil will whoop your head. You cannot evangelize not being connected to the word of God, or the devil will have his way. He will make a fool out of you. He will make a mockery out of you. So it is up to us. And I want Soil Church to know and understand, we have to feed on the word of God. It is an everyday thing. This is what Paul had to do to be bold enough to go out and to evangelize, to be able to evangelize out in the Roman area of all places. Okay, this was something. He couldn't be intimidated. He couldn't be scared. He had to go out there and do it. He had to know, hey, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. I could be assassinated at any time. I could be locked up at any time. Anything can happen to me. But as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not, cannot, and shall not fear any evil. Why? Because God is with us. And what I want us to know and understand, if we know that God is with Paul, God is with Jesus, God is with everybody that he's always been with. We have to know and understand that God will in fact be with us. So if we know God will keep us out of harm's way and protect us as we do his work, what I want us to understand is what we can do is continue to walk boldly, walk forward, forget those things which are behind and press on toward the mark and do what God has called us to do. Because here's a couple things I want us to know as we're getting into this message here, okay? Our God is an if and then God. I would have that slide up right now. Our God is an if and then God. I want to remind you of that before I move on, okay? We're having a little recap here. Our God is an if and then God. And I want us to know as we get ready to read here in Romans 8 and 31, what I want us to understand here, if you got your Bibles, go to Romans 8 and 31. Okay, Romans 8 and 31. I am coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. What I want us to know and understand, this is going to be the heartbeat of our message on today. And I'm not going to be before you very long on this morning. I'm going to give you back your beautiful Sunday. But right now, can we agree to just eat some spinach? Can we pop open a can of spinach like Popeye and let's allow our spirit man to get full? Okay, because there is a Brutus, a Bluto, whatever his name, there's a Bluto out there that's ready. He's ready for you. And you need to open up this can of spinach so that your spirit man can be full and ready and strong to be able to encounter what it is that you're going to encounter. Because God's staff and his rod is right by your side and you don't have a reason to fear anything. All right, so I want to give you some time to get into that. So real quick here in Romans here, going to Romans 8 and 31, New King James Version of the Bible. And it reads, what then shall we say to these things if, remember, he's an if and then God, if. I want to say that again because I want that word if to soak into your spirit. If God is for us, then who can be against us? That's the word in itself right there. If God be for us, who can be against us? How many times do we forget about who's for us? How many times do we think that we're all in this situation all by ourselves? How many times do we think that there is nobody there for us and that we're facing this all alone, and then we forget that Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us? If God be for us, that means he's erring on the side of us. That means there is an alignment here. That means that there is a connection here. Okay, that means that we're on the same team as God. If God be for us, then who can be against us? Somebody ought to praise God for being an if and a then God. Because sometimes we get so focused on the if that we forget about the then. Sometimes we forget that God is by our side and that we're experiencing things all by ourselves. But we forget about his rod and we forget about our staff because we have not fed on the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to think that you're all by yourself when you haven't been reading your word. When you haven't been soaking in the word and you haven't been seeking him first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it is very easy to think that you're going through things all by yourself. Because you're living in the natural sense and you're not living in the spiritual sense. And therefore, either one or two is going to be in control, either your natural or your spiritual. You have to make the choice. What are you feeding the most? What are you filled up with the most? Depending on what you're filled up with the most determines how you will act and how you will move forward in your attitude and what you believe. If you believe in the word of God and you're feeding on the word of God and you're popping open that can of spinach and you're allowing your spirit man to be filled and fed, then the spirit is what's going to dictate the decisions that you make, the way you speak to people, the thoughts that you have when you hear bad news and how you can flush that out. Or maybe sometimes if somebody is talking negative, you'll be strong enough to be able to say, not today, sir, not today, ma'am. I don't want to hear that right now. And you have every right to tell people that. How they take it is up to them, but you have a job to protect your spirit, to be careful of what goes inside your ears, to be careful of what goes inside your mouth, to be careful about what you feed on and what you spend your time in. You have a job. You've got to play protector of your spirit, man. And this is what I want us to understand. The stronger that we feed on the word of God, the stronger we will be able to protect our spirit man, because the spirit will be in control and the flesh will not be in control. I'm going to say that again, because then the spirit will be in control and the flesh will not be in control. But you have to pop open that can and you've got to feed your spirit man. Somebody, why don't you put that in a chat? Because sometimes I'm a poet and don't even know it. You've got to pop open that can so that you can feed your spirit man. Can of spinach. I don't want somebody to take this out of context and say, what kind of can we talking about? This is why you got to listen to the word, all right? Because if you stand on the surface, you can take things out of context, right? But we're talking about that can of spinach, which is called the word of God. Now, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we look through the natural lens and it can tend to make us think that we're all alone when we see it in the natural. We cannot see things in the spirit because we are natural beings. And it's easy sometimes to forget that God is by our side. But it is up to us to welcome in his presence. And as I said, feeding on the word of God, seeking God, having that connection, that relationship with him that will allow us to know that his presence is with us. And everything that we experience will work together for our good. Okay? It will work together for our good. Now, most of you know, I'm going to give you a little example here. Most of you know that I'm a sports fan. If you don't know that by now, then you and I need to have a conversation. I'm a big sports fan. I love sports. And what I love about sports is the teamwork and all the things and making things work together as a team. And sometimes I get so passionate about that, I get mad at certain quarterbacks and certain running backs and certain point guards and different thing ones when they don't do the right thing, because I love to see teamwork coming together. Now, I'm talking about my teams now, right? But I love to see when teamwork comes together. But what I want to know, what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk about one particular person in the NBA as I make my point about letting us know about the presence of God. Now, Shaquille O'Neal, a lot of you know Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal was one of the most dominant players in NBA history. Big guy, strong guy, a guy that was that big, that was that strong. He was something that the NBA had never seen before. Normally, when guys are that tall, they're not that big. But when guys are that big, they're not that tall. So he was an anomaly. He was something that we had not seen before in the NBA. And he was known as the most dominant big man in the history of the NBA, for the most part. Now, some of you might argue, some of you may say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Will Chamberlain, all that. I just want you to stay with me as I make this point, okay? We can argue all that stuff later on. I get it. But just stay with me in terms of Shaq, because I'm going to go somewhere with this point here. Now, when Shaq stepped on the court, the entire game changed. When Shaq stepped on the court, the opposing team had to change their entire defense, okay? They had to change their entire offense. They had to change everything because Shaq stepped on the court. Just imagine having that kind of power that all you got to do is step on the court and everything changes. We had this plan, but when this person steps on the court, everything gets altered. Everything gets changed. This is the mere definition of what we call a game changer. He was, in fact, a game changer. Now, there were times where he may not have even touched the ball, but his presence alone would allow the opposing team to scratch a hole in their head trying to figure out how they're going to play around this guy. When he stepped on the court, when the offense was ran through him, the scoring percentage increased. All he have to do is just touch the ball. He may distribute it. He may shoot it. He may do whatever it takes. But the percentages were great for them to score when Shaq at least just touched the ball during an offensive setting. Okay, and when the defense factored him in, the defensive scheme would change and it would become much stronger when he's on the court. So when the game was on the line, the opposing teams had started to create this thing called Hack-a-Shaq. Some of y'all remember Hack-a-Shaq and what that meant. And what Hack-a-Shaq meant was that when the game was on the line, and I think Don Nelson started this with the Mavericks years ago, okay, and he was famous for doing this, they would just run up and just hug Shaq, knowing that the referees were going to call a foul. Even if the ball was just inbounded, they would just run up and just hug the dude because they wanted to put him on the line and try to exploit his weakness, which was shooting free throws. Just imagine that they come up with a special foul just for you because you're that dominant. They have to change the entire way that they would play the game and come up with all these schemes because you're that strong and that dominant and that bold that they had to create something to try to do nothing but go after your weakness and build their entire defense around something like that. This was the result of the strength that he had on the court. Sometimes it would work, most of the time it wouldn't, because he was in fact that dominant. So what am I saying? Why am I talking about Shaquille O'Neal? Well, what I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the power of God's presence in our lives, if we believe that he is for us, will be a game changer in everything that we experience. Okay, just because God stepped on the court in your life means that the defenders out there, okay, the oppositions out there, the opposers out there are going to scratch a hole in their head trying to figure out how to play around his presence in your life. This is what I want us to understand, because if we believe that he is for us, then who can be against you? They can try to run up and foul you and it's not going to work. They can try to build an entire scheme around you and it's not going to work. They can try to do everything they can, draw up all the X's and the O's, and everything that they try to do, the presence of God is going to supersede that. Because if God is for you, then who can be against you? Who can defend against you? Who can score against you? Who can take you out of your game? Who can take you out of your element? Even if you're on a home court or whether you're on the visitor's court, God's presence alone will allow you to be able to supersede anything that can come against you. Sometimes we have to understand the presence of God is for us. So you should walk with a different walk, knowing that no one can be against you. You should talk with a different talk, knowing that no one can take that away from you. You should look at life in a different sense, knowing that the maker, the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of the universe is on your side. And when he steps on the court, your entire game shall change. This is what I want us to understand. Who can defend your 3-point shot when the offense runs through God? Who can stop your layup in life when the offense is running through God? How much better is your defense when the presence of God steps on the court? And whatever scheme the enemy tries to set up against you, that's right, I'm talking to you. Whatever scheme the enemy tries to set up against you, the presence of God, ladies and gentlemen, will destroy that scene. Paul wants us to understand here in Romans 8 and 31, as we read it on this morning here, he wants us to make a choice to believe in the power of God, because there is no other power greater than God. When God steps on the court, you need to know that this is a presence that will supersede any other presence. Any dart can be thrown at you and the presence of God will knock it out of pocket. Anything that is trying to take you out, any name, any slandering, any lie, anything that goes on about you, you better understand the presence of God is going to alter that. And sometimes God is on the defense and he's not going to let you know about certain things. He's protecting things on the outside. He ain't telling you about the stuff that he blocked and that he stopped that didn't even come your way. Because remember the big bad wolf and how he tries to huff and tries to puff and blow your house down, but God don't tell you sometimes how he destroyed that wolf before it can even come close to blowing down your house. You better recognize and you better pay attention and you better visualize the presence of God, because the presence of God is something unique. And if God be for you, ladies and gentlemen, who can be against you? That is still a question that we're asking today, more than 2,000 years later. Who can be against you? Who can be against you? Who can supersede what God can do through your life? I'm waiting on that answer. And if you can tell me that, I'd love to hear. Because if you can tell me who that is that's greater than God, then we need to be worshiping you. But until that happens, and we know that's not going to happen, until that happens, God is the Almighty God. Okay, there is no God that's greater than God. We better understand who it is that we're serving. We better understand who's on our court. We better understand his presence that's on our court. We've got to stop walking around scared. We've got to stop walking around with our head head in the sand. We got to stop walking around here with our heads hung down like we're already defeated. We don't lose with God on our side, ladies and gentlemen. And if he be for you, who can be against you? Now, if we believe this, then who can be against you? If we know this, who can be against you? Here's another thing I want to let us know. Now, sometimes I want to look at this in a different light, because I want to tell you something here that I want us to understand. Sometimes when I'm taking somebody out to lunch or dinner or whatever the case, right, I invited them to join me. Okay? I invited them to join me. Okay? God says that he knows the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us a hope in the future. And he says in Jeremiah 1:5, before you entered into the womb of your mother, he already foreknew you. Okay? So I want you to stay with me as I make this last and final point. If I invite somebody to lunch or dinner, that means that I invited them to lunch or dinner. So what happens is when that person or those people begin to take their wallets out or begin to pay, I'm telling them, no, you don't pay for that because I invited you to dinner. And if I invited you to dinner, that means that I chose you. I welcomed you to come join me. And therefore, with me, your money is no good. And I want you to understand that I am picking up the tab. Now, Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, paid the price. And when you're reaching out for your wallet, thinking that you've got to do everything on your own and all this kind of stuff, he asked you to join him. And then you must understand that the tab is on Jesus. Some of us get so caught up into thinking that the tab is on us, and we leave no room for God to show himself strong. But I want to come to remind you as I get ready to close this message on today. I come to remind you on this morning that Jesus paid the price for us all, and your money is no good when he's already picking up the tab. If I had my slides on this morning, I would ask somebody to matter of fact, go ahead on and do me a favor. Put this in the chat that Jesus has picked up your tab. Yeah, put that in the chat. Jesus has picked up your tab. You need to understand, he's got you. He's taking care of you. He's already taking care of it here. Jesus is picking up your tab because God is for you. So therefore, who can be against you? He said to lay your burdens down because he picked up the tab. That's right. He said, I'm so glad, okay, that you decided to join me. I am picking up the tab. That's right. This is what I want us to understand. And because Jesus picked up the tab, no one can be against you. Okay? Try to say some things about you. He may throw sticks and stones at you, but I want you to understand that Jesus has picked up your tab, right? I remember the other day, yep, I think they lied on you, right? They said something about you, but you need to understand that Jesus has picked up your tab, okay? What is your money good for when Jesus has already paid the price? Why are you reaching into your wallet when Jesus is picking up the tab, okay? Why are you trying to say check, please, when Jesus is saying it's already taken care of? He wants to remind you on today that your money is no good in this meal of life, and as a matter of fact, he has already paid for your meal, so there's no reason for you to ask for the check. This is what I want you to understand. When you say check, please, Jesus is saying nope. When you're saying, hey, how much is all of this? Jesus is saying, don't you even think about it, because that guy over there is what the waiter's telling you already paid for you. You saying who? That guy over there is already taking care of your food. Who's that guy over there? Well, the waiter is coming to tell you that guy is already taking care of your meal. He is already taking care of your check. So there is no need because that guy is already taking care of that. Well, you might ask this waiter, when did this guy pay for my meal is what you might ask. And the waiter is going to tell you, well, sir, I don't know if you know this, but your meal was paid for more than 2,000 years ago. That's right. Your meal was paid for at this place called Calvary. That's right. And when that God rose and he got up on the third day, your meal was paid for, your burdens were taken care of, your sickness was healed, your disease was destroyed. Because if God be for you, who can be against you when Jesus has already picked up your tab? So I want you to understand, you might say, well, how did he pay for it? He didn't pay for it with Bitcoin, he paid for it with blood coin. That's right, he paid for it with blood coin, because when his blood was shed, your sins were paid for. When his blood was shed, your meal was paid for. That's right, when his blood was shed, everything that the enemy did to come against you was already paid for. We got to understand that Jesus has picked up your tab. There is no reason to reach for your wallet when your meal is paid for. There is no reason to try to do things on your own when he said it's paid for. He's paid for it with blood coin. And when his arms were stretched wide, and they began to pierce his side, and his blood began to shed, he was saying, cha-ching, cha-ching, ching-ching, everything is paid for. That's right. Your sins were paid for. That's right. Your sins were paid for. Your thoughts were paid for. Everything that you tried to do on your own was paid for. You got to know that if God be for you, who can be against you? And I want you to understand that Jesus has paid your tab. This is what we must know about the presence of God. We have to know this when we walk every day of our life and know that he is with us and he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Okay? As I get ready to close on this morning, he is a God that is an if and a then God. And we must align with the Apostle Paul and what he is telling us in Romans 8 and 31. What then shall we say to these things if everything comes against you? What shall we say if everything comes against you? Because if God be for you, who who can be against you? He is an if and a then God. If you believe in him, then you reap the benefits. If you know that he's the God of your life, then you walk with a different walk. If you know that God has paid the tab, you don't have to reach for your wallet, because he is, in fact, an if and a then God. Who can defend your shot when God's hands are touching the ball? When you know of his power, you can go up and down the court without any worries, knowing that the layup is waiting on you. This is what he means by the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. We have to understand the presence of God works in every area of our lives. And what I want us to understand is that when God is in control, his wonder-working power is in control, and what his word says about you says that you are the Alpha. Okay, you are the Alpha. When you walk these streets here, you are in control. This is what I want us to understand. Even though the world's message is trying to water us down, even though the world's message is trying to make us seem that we're less than, you better know the power that you have because of God's presence. Don't let this world make you think that you're less than anybody else. Don't let this world make you think that you're beneath anybody else. When you got to understand the importance of the power of God, and the more you pop open that can of spinach, you will know how strong you are through God, okay? We can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. You can do all things through Christ that what? Strengthens you. It gives you that strength. It gives you that strength to walk with a different walk, to walk with the authority that he's given us and that he wants us to know. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, what I want us to say as I get ready to close here on this morning is I want us to get off of the way that it looks to you. Get off of that. Whatever it looks like to you, get off of that. I want you to move that onto the side and get on the way it looks through God. In other words, don't look at it through your eyes. Look at it through his eyes. And when you get rid of looking at it through your eyes, you're going to look at it through his eyes, and you're going to walk with a different walk. And you're going to know that he's in control. And you're going to know that his presence is for you. So therefore, no one can be against you. Now, as I close on this morning, what God is saying to each and every one of us, and I want to thank y'all for joining us on this morning, that he is for us, and therefore no one can be against us. You know why? Because you are who he says you are. You're the apple of God's eye. You are powerful. You're taking on his image. And as I said last week, you wear the last name Christ when you accept him. Jesus Christ, Christ the anointed one, when you accept him, okay, your last name is Christ. And that is you carrying the name of God. Somebody out there on this morning, you needed a reminder of the importance of God in your life. You needed a reminder that if God be for you, who can be against you? Remember, Paul went into the deep belly of the Roman Empire to proclaim the good news, and God was for him, so therefore not even Julius Caesar can be against him. Somebody needs that reminder on today, and I just want to say a quick prayer from you on this morning here, and I want to thank y'all for tuning in. Heavenly Father, Lord, somebody got this reminder, Lord. Somebody received a can of spinach, and now they're strong like Popeye, Lord Jesus. And I want them to know and to be encouraged. This is a daily thing. You have to feed on the word every single day so that you can go forth and be bold to proclaim the goodness of Jesus wherever we go. Lord, to that person that walked away from you, Lord, bring them back to you. Bring them back to you with a purpose. Bring them back to you with a focus. Bring them back to you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you've got work for them to do. And that their job, Lord Jesus, is to go forth and to make disciples of all men to all areas of the earth. That's what you've called for us to do, Lord. And as Soil Church begins to grow, as we begin to grow and to go out, Lord Jesus, give us the strength that we need to be able to know the importance of evangelizing, because that's how the word is going to get out. So I want to thank you for our marching orders on today. I want to thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord. Cover us with your continuous shield of protection everywhere that we go, Father God. And I want to thank you for being the God of our lives, being the God of a first, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth chance, Lord. Because yes, we fall and we make mistakes. And yes, we do things we shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't say and all of that. But Lord, you paid it on the price. You paid your price on the cross. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us to dust it off and to move forward. Forget those things which are behind and to press on toward the mark. And to know, Lord Jesus, that we are who you say we are. And you call us blessed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you. For that person out there, you want to receive Christ on today, I just want you to say something here as we get ready to close. I want you to say something here. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died, that you rose on the third day with all the power and with all the glory. And I want to thank you for saving me once again. That's all it took. You confessed and you believed. And now I want to welcome you into this king that never loses, into the king's team that never loses. And I want to thank you for giving your life to Christ. Okay. You can reach out to us. I think if you're looking at our title here on Facebook, you can reach out to us, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Feel free to be a blessing to this ministry as we get ready to go to the next level. Okay. You see us out there on Givelify. Look us up on Givelify, a Spirit of Inspiring Love Church on Givelify. And then also on Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I want to pray over every seed before we leave out here. Hang on, y'all. Let's pray over these seeds. Lord, I want to thank you for good ground. Thank you for allowing these seeds to be manifested, Lord. I speak a hundredfold return on every seed, Lord. That person that needs mental stability, Lord Jesus. That person that needs a new job. That person that needs finance. That person that just needs peace. Whatever it is, Lord, you said there's a seed for every need and a need for every seed. And we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for a hundredfold return on every seed. Lord, I just pray that everybody names their seed as they give. Call it what it is. Call that thing that may not be as though it is. Name that seed, so that you can see the manifestation of the growth in the name of Jesus, Lord. I want to thank you for the good ground of this ministry, for every seed that will be planted, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for increase in everybody's life, because increase is in alignment with you. You said to go forth, Lord Jesus, and you said for us to be fruitful and to multiply. Increase is on your mind, and allow your people to know that we are supposed to be increasing. Increasing is a promise, Lord Jesus, through obedience. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Hey, listen, thank y'all for joining us on this morning. We're going to be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. I want to thank you in advance for every seed that you've given this ministry. And as we always say, hey, don't meet me there, beat me there. But we'll be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. I want y'all to have a blessed week. And I'm going to challenge you. If you listen to this message, I'm going to challenge you. Go out and tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. I don't care if you text them, if you email them, just tell somebody something. I'm going to challenge you. Tell two people this week. Tell two people this week, send me a note on who you told. Okay, just shoot me a text on who you told. I just want to know. I just get used to evangelizing. That's where this ministry is getting ready to go. We're getting ready to get ready to go to the next level. Okay, and I've got some meetings, special meetings getting ready to come up. More to come with that. I'm going to be reaching out to a select few of you here because we got some work to do. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. All right, listen, have a fantastic Sunday. Enjoy the beautiful weather out there, and we'll see you next week. Love you, folks. Take care.